Welcome to Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle. I'm Bobby Osinski, and this is a show all about music, music production, and the music business. My guest this week is Lara Chapman, who's an award-winning singer-songwriter turned viral vocal coach and the founder of Vox Tape Studios. Born in Switzerland, her aspirations quickly took her to New York City, where she studied musical theater and acting for film and television. After that, she moved to Boston to study music business, songwriting, and vocal performance at Berklee College of Music. While finishing her degree, she was signed to a major management deal and moved to Nashville to write and record her debut album. After many successful releases, hundreds of shows, and navigating the brutal realities of the music industry, she discovered her true passion, helping others transform from singers into artists. Lara's coaching videos have reached millions of passionate singers from all over the world, helping her build a reputation in the industry as the go-to coach for helping singers find their own voice as an artist. During our interview, we learned a lot about singing as Lara talked about transitioning from performer to vocal coach, how the good enough mentality doesn't work with singing, how singing is more than just hitting the right notes, why traditional singing lessons don't work anymore, and so much more. I spoke with Lara via Zoom from her studio in Indianapolis. Let's start from the beginning of when you got in the music business. I know you grew up in Switzerland and you went to school there, yes. Right?
Yes. Yes, I did. I only moved to the U.S. for college.
But you were in music school in Switzerland as well?
Yeah. So in Switzerland, how we do it, like in high school, like we pick a major in high school already. So like you would in college here, we already have majors in high school. And I was a music major with voice as my instrument. Mm-hmm. And then obviously like voice lessons, piano lessons, all that stuff as well.
So you've been singing from a young age.
Yeah. Yeah. I started voice lessons when I was 13 already, or I wanted to start way earlier than that. Okay. But I started when I was 13 because you have to be 13 in Switzerland to take voice lessons. If you're going through music schools, if you're going privately with like a private person, then that's a whole other story. But the music school that I went to had a 13 age minimum. So yeah, I started lessons when I was 13.
Did you move to the U.S. for Berklee?
Ish. So I first went to the New York Film Academy to study musical theater and acting for film and TV. I did that for 2 years in New York. And then I went to Berklee after that because I realized that I don't want to do musical theater. I want to do pop and contemporary music.
And you study voice there as well?
Yeah, voice songwriting and music business.
Because you know, Berklee is so all-encompassing. There's so many different things there.
Yeah, they got everything. And it was crazy because like I got to take all these different classes on, you know, like production and arrangement and obviously all the music theory in the world. Yeah. It was a lot, which was really cool. And a lot of performance classes as well.
I used to teach there, but I went there as well as a student. The interesting thing to me, I think the best thing was the harmony classes. I don't know how much it's changed since then, but the harmony classes were fantastic. And I always felt that I got the most out of that from everything else.
Really? What did you teach at Berklee? I didn't know you were teaching that.
Yeah, I taught mostly the studio stuff, recording, music production.
Wow, that is so cool. Oh man, I wish you were my teacher. Wow. That would have been so cool.
It was a long time ago. I helped start the program, actually.
So no, you didn't.
It shows how,
Bobby,
how long ago.
What did you like not do? I feel like you did everything. That is so cool.
Yeah, I don't talk much about that, to be honest with you. It's, you know, another lifetime.
Yeah, I guess. You've been doing it for a long time. You're a pro.
Yeah. But back to you. So after Berklee, then you moved to Nashville, right?
Yes. So kind of ish. So I did three semesters at Berklee. I did three semesters in one year. So like a summer, fall, and spring semester. And in the spring, we went on a spring break trip down to Nashville. And I was meeting up with a manager and got signed to that manager on that spring break trip, or like after the spring break trip. Anyways, went back to Berklee, finished up the semester, and then moved down to Nashville and actually finished Berklee online. Because my parents were very much like, you have to get a degree. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go get myself a degree. But I finished school online so that I could do the whole like writing, recording, performing, all of that down in Nashville kind of like at the same time.
Now, that must have been a culture shock getting to Nashville, because not only is the music scene different, and it's probably different from anywhere else in the world, but also just the fact that you're in a different part of the United States that is really different from every place else.
Yes, it was very different. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't feel very at home down there. You know, coming from Switzerland, it's very different. And so, you know, I don't know. Like the people, everyone was very nice and everyone was beautiful, like in Nashville, like all these influencers walking around and these musicians walking around. It was so cool. But it just didn't feel super homey to me, which is probably a big reason why I left Nashville then as well pretty quickly. I wasn't down in Nashville for too long. I signed just a 1-year lease and I actually broke that early too and left. But That's a whole love story. We don't need to get into that. But anyways, Nashville was super cool, but it just didn't feel very homey to me. But just being around these musicians, and that was kind of like the first time where I was in rooms with, you know, pros, not just like students or coaches, teachers, that type of situation, like mentors. It was like, no, like now I'm in the room with professional, you know, producers and writers. And it was like, oh, okay. It was so cool because I was such a newbie at that point still. Like I learned about it, but I didn't like do it every day, all day. And so being surrounded by all these amazing musicians, artists, producers, just people in the industry, I was like, wow, I am learning so much so quickly. And it was great. I loved it. It was a very humbling experience too. You're like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say something, but obviously it was great. I loved it. I do miss it.
I have several friends that moved there and then moved back. And the reason why, and these were very successful people as well. So it's not like they were newbies or anything. They had lots of big credits and they had a hard time breaking in. And he said that you can get a lot of superficial friends, but it's very difficult to actually build relationships there, both on a personal and business level. Three friends I can think of that got frustrated very quickly and moved back.
Okay.
So speaking of feeling, you know, at home, you're not the only one, really.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, I'm glad because some people are like, hold on, but you live in Indiana now. How is that more like home? And I'm like, well, it's not really. But my new family, my married into family is all here. So that already feels more homey to me. But yeah, no, the people are everything.
Okay. So tell me about starting your business then. You then transitioned into giving voice lessons, right? When did you decide that that was something that you wanted to do?
Well, I kind of fell into it, honestly. So, you know, I was recording, I was releasing original music, I was performing a lot and doing all that stuff. And, you know, as you know, like performing, like it pays, but it doesn't pay great. And you can only perform so much, right? Like you can only do one gig a night. You can't do 2 gigs a night or 3 gigs a night. You know, the hourly rate might not be bad, but you can only work so many hours, right? So I was like, all right, I gotta make some money. And I was like, I can sing. So let me try this whole like teaching voice thing. Obviously, just because you can sing doesn't mean you're a good teacher. Very, very, very different things. But I was like, all right, well, hey, there's only one way to learn it. Let's just try it and see if it works. And I was charging very little money because I was like, I'm just learning. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I was very upfront about that as well. But my mom is a teacher. She's a kindergarten teacher, not like a voice teacher or anything like that. But I like to think that I've got the coaching, the teaching gene from her a little bit. And so, yeah, it was basically out of necessity at first. I was like, well, I got to do something to make money. So I started teaching voice lessons. And the more I did it, the better and better and better I got at it. I started understanding the different kinds of voices and how to get a point across and explaining the same thing in many different ways so that I would find a way that clicks with the student, right? And so, you know, the more I did it, the better I got at it and the more joy it brought me as well. And I got to a point where I started liking coaching and teaching more than the whole being with the artist stuff, right? Because like, don't get me wrong, I love the recording, I love the writing, I love the performing, like that was fun. But everything else that you also have to do as an artist, that was the part where I was like, I don't want to do that anymore, especially social media. Oh my God. Now I love social media as a business owner, like teaching voice lessons and all that stuff. But as an artist, I hated it because I didn't understand it. I didn't really know what to post and how to promote my music, but not in a promote-y way. And so I hated it. And yeah, I realized that maybe coaching is more my calling. Maybe that's what I should be doing full time. And I went through a whole like identity crisis for like a year and a half. I was like, no, I am not allowed to want to coach more than want to be a performer, because like that's what I wanted to do my entire life. Like, what is going on? And I had a big struggle with my ego. I was like, everyone is going to think that I quit because I'm not good enough, or that I just like didn't make it. And so I was very concerned with what other people were going to think about me transitioning to coaching full time rather than kind of doing a hybrid or being more of like an artist, right? Yeah, but then COVID hit, and COVID was, you know, I had to cancel my tour that I put together. I was going to go on tour from like Texas all the way over to the West Coast and back down to Nashville, and just like everything. I was so excited about it. And then I had to cancel the entire thing. And I was like, all right, this is a sign.
Yeah.
I should probably go coaching full time. And that's when I allowed myself to do that. And that's when I opened Vox Tape Studios. Before, it was just Laura Chapman Music LLC.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
great. And then I opened Vox Tape Studios and transitioned to something more online. Before, it was mostly just like teaching out of my home. And, you know, students would come here and I would teach them voice lessons. And Vox Tape Studios is this online studio. We now have other coaches on the team. And yeah, no, it's been great. I have no regrets. I'm so happy that I made the decision to transition, that I allowed myself to transition. I'm happier than ever. And yeah, I love what I do. And I think I'm pretty darn good at it too.
You know, I had a similar experience where I was a touring guitar player for a long time until I was 40. And I was a musical director for I'm not going to name names, but let's just say a famous English artist. And the tour was so bad that at the end, I just decided I'm done with this. And it was the best day of my life. The reason why, and you've hit on it, musicians tie their ego to what they're doing. And their whole sense of reality is built around being a musician. And that might not be the right thing for you at that time in your life. And as soon as you transition to something else, for me, life got more fun. Everything was better. This giant weight lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah.
And it's not that I stopped, because I didn't. I just transitioned from being on the road to in the studio, which in many ways is worse, because, you know, one of spending 12 and 14 and 16 hour days there, but nonetheless, I was at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can go home, be in your bed.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. You know, again, it's kind of the same thing where sometimes it's just, it's time.
Yeah. And I like how you said, like, not right now, or maybe not anymore, or maybe it will be again in the future, right? So a lot of people ask me, like, all right, don't you want to go back to creating music and, you know, releasing original music? You had so much success with it. Like, why don't you go back into it? And I'm like, I'm good. For right now, I'm good. That doesn't mean that I'm never going to go back to doing it. Just right now, I don't have the time. And also, it's not a priority. I don't have the desire to go back to the studio and record and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm recording every day all day, but I'm recording vocal exercises.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's just like, not right now, but maybe again in the future.
So let's talk about teaching voice now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start with this. I have a number of clients that are in my mixing programs that are doing their own music. So they're self-producing. And one of the things I notice is they don't sing well. They don't spend enough time doing it. Mostly, and I can tell, if they ever worked with a real producer, the producer would have beat them up so much that they would have, you know, understood, okay, yeah, I got to work this harder. But they don't, because they haven't gone through that. That being said, do you find that that happens where there are people that are not taking the time to understand what they have to do to get better as a singer?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And I feel like with singing, a lot of people have this idea of like, well, either you can do it or you can't, right? Either you have the talent for it or you don't. And maybe, you know, in your case, like with your clients, with your students, it's like good enough. Right.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I can
yeah.
sing the right notes at the right time, and then they can use a little bit of auto-tune and a lot of, you know, the tools that they have as producers to make them sound pretty good, right? Like, good enough.
I wish they would. They don't even do that. That's the problem.
Well, but here's the thing. All these tools that we have in Pro Tools and Logic and whatever software you use, right, to record, you can only do so much, right? Like, if what's going into the microphone ain't that good, it's really difficult to make it sound like, wow, all right, like this is an incredible product. Like, you know, if you watch like Hannah Montana or like any of these like TV shows where they took a crappy singer and made them sound incredible, like that's just not the reality.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think with producers, like, you know, people who write their own songs, they produce it, like they do everything themselves. For them, I would say the biggest hang up is like, well, it's good enough. And, you know, I can't really learn to make this any better. It is what it is. And it's got to be good enough.
I know as a producer, the way I always looked at it is, yes, I have great tools, Auto-Tune and Melodyne and everything, but I only use it in extreme cases. It's like, okay, I can't find a way to fix this organically. Then let's do it. So it might only be 2-3 times during a song. But if there's someone did a number of takes, then at least you can comp something together that's fairly reasonable. Even then, I mean, I come from the school where you just did it until you got it right.
know? Yeah. And usually for us singers, like I will tell you, if you still haven't gotten it after like take 7 or 8 or maybe 10, you need to go back and practice.
Hmm.
You just don't have it yet, right? So go back and practice. Don't just keep recording the same take over and over and over and over and over. And then you have like 50 takes and all of them still suck.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like you just have to go and practice a little bit more. And the biggest thing that I think like with someone who just doesn't have the trained ear to like listen for vocals and like really pay attention to vocals is I think they're missing the point that singing is so much more than just about like hitting the right notes at the right time and sounding okay, like sounding decent. There's so much more to it. Like you can play around with all these different tones and these different embellishments, and all of that together will help you get the point across and tell the story and support the story. Because at the end of the day, you know, we want to tell stories as singers. It's kind of what we do. We got lyrics. We can use words, which is very unique to our instrument. Nobody else, like no other instrument has lyrics, right? So it's just like there's so much more to it. And a lot of people don't see it because they don't know what to listen for. And so just developing that ear and really paying attention to the vocals and not just the mixing and the mastering and the production and all that stuff. Just really paying attention to just the vocals. What are all the different embellishments that you hear? What are all the different tones that you hear? And then start playing around with all of this in your own voice. That's how you take it to the next level. Otherwise, you'll always be mediocre. I'm sorry to say it, but it's the truth.
I had the producer for Kelly Clarkson and I think another big famous country star. And he told me that he would regularly do 20 tracks of vocals on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it wasn't for pitch or anything like that.
No, yeah.
It was for passion. It was taking the best pieces out of all of them, and it had nothing to do so much with the perfect performance. It was all about the extra part.
Oh my God, absolutely. Like every time, like when I went into the studio and recorded, like we didn't pick the takes that were the most like perfectly on pitch or sounded the best even, quote unquote, right? Sounded the best. It was the ones where it's like, all right, like you hit us in the feels with this, or this is raw and this is it, right? This is the take. And then we can use a little bit of Melodyne if we need to lift the pitch slightly, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's when those tools come in to just kind of like shape the diamond just a little bit if we need to, right?
Yeah.
But it's always like the rawness, the emotion, that's what we're looking for. But if you if you're so focused on just sounding good and hitting the right notes at the right time, then all of that gets lost.
Yeah. Pitch, passion, pocket, three P's.
Pitch, passion, pocket. I like it. I love that you're saying pocket too. Rhythm is something that we work on all the time, and phrasing, you know, just like really making sure you feel in sync with the music. The groove is there. You're in the pocket, in sync. All of that is so important, and many, many, many people miss it.
We'll hear more from Lara in a second, but first, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to questions@bobbyosinski.com. You can find out all about my books, including The Mixing Engineer's Handbook, Recording Engineer's Handbook, AI for Music Production, The Music Business Advice Book, and more at bobbyosinski.com. There you can also read excerpts from all my books and learn all about the latest in music, audio, and production news when you sign up for my newsletter. That's bobbyosinski.com. I saw something on your website that I found intriguing. Traditional singing lessons don't work anymore. Why is that?
Well, so, you know, if we think of singing lessons, a lot of people think like, all right, we got to stand there, good posture, engage the diaphragm. By the way, that's a myth. You can't engage your diaphragm when you sing. But anyways, right, just like, all right. And then we open the mouth really big and we let the sound come out. Like, no, like maybe for classical singing, sure. But that's a completely different style of singing. Like, I'm sure you know, if you play classical guitar or like, you know, contemporary where you're like chords and picking patterns and all that stuff, like it's almost like a completely different instrument. And it's the same thing for the voice. Classical singing and contemporary singing is very different. Like, it's not all about just projecting a lot and having good posture and supporting and blah, 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 blah. That doesn't matter nearly as much. And also, a lot of times when we look at the more traditional side of vocal coaching, like where we've come from, it's very much like, here are all the steps that we need to hit, and this is what's going to make you sound good. I don't like that because it's not individualized. It's not personalized. It doesn't help you find your voice. It doesn't help you stand out from everybody else. It takes out all the imperfections in your voice. We don't want to do that. We want to keep those because the imperfections is what makes everybody go like, oh, that's Lara or that's Bobby. Like, that's how they recognize you. And what makes singing more fun and more like you can connect better with your audience because it's not so perfect. Perfect and contemporary singing is boring. And so a lot of like that traditional vocal coaching that a lot of people like think of when they think about voice lessons, that just doesn't work to make quote unquote pop stars, right? Like someone who's an artist with their voice, they are recognizable. And obviously that doesn't mean we don't want to work on vocal technique. That is very important because, you know, I don't want you to feel limited in your expression just because you can't hit certain notes a certain way, right? Like, we still need to work on your vocal technique. That is important. But the way we do it now is different.
You know, I'm glad you touched on that because I think that's an impediment for some of my people. For instance, there's a perception that, well, I'm not going to take vocal lessons because of the perception that that's what's going to happen. I'm going to be taught in a traditional fashion. I don't have time for that, and it's not going to get me where I want to go anyway.
Well, yeah, if you're taking classical voice lessons, maybe, right? Yeah. Or if you're taking voice lessons with someone who's like really traditional, sure. But with any contemporary coach, that really hopefully isn't the case.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, please come to me and I will show you the contemporary way of vocal coaching. No, really, like, it's not about making you sound perfect. It's not about, you know, just taking out all the imperfections and whatnot. It's really not about that at all. It's much more collaborative. Like, I want to know what it is that you want to learn. And I want to know what you feel like you do well and what makes you stand out from everybody else. And if you don't know, let's explore it together, right? And not like me telling you this is what we're going to do and that's it. That's the end of that, right? No, it's way more collaborative because at the end of the day, it's important to me that we get you to your goals, not the goals that I have for you. Very, very different story sometimes.
You just mentioned that sometimes you get people that don't know where they want to go. Does that happen often?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, they're very lost. They're like, I love singing and I love everything. What do I do? Right? I'm like, all right, well, let's have a listen. Let's see, you know, what comes naturally to you, what comes easily to you, what are the areas of your voice that we need to work on a little bit more? Are there any quirks about your voice that stand out to me? And then we'll just have a conversation about it and be like, all right, here's what I hear. What do you think about this? Would you agree? Have you heard, like, what have other people told you? Have they said, like, oh yeah, they hear the same things that I'm hearing, or is it completely the opposite, right? It's just like exploring.
So describe your program then.
My program, well, that's difficult to describe because it's different for everybody.
Okay.
Right. So if we have someone who's more of a hobby singer, they just want to, you know, maybe start doing some open mic nights or maybe join a band, but, you know, they just want to do this for fun. It's a very different approach than when I have someone who's coming to me and is like, I'm going to be the next Joan Jett, because I'm currently working with the freaking next Joan Jett, but obviously, like, not the next, but like similar. But anyways, she's amazing, but she wants to be a rock star, right? So very different approach. But in general, the important things to me, the things that we always pay attention to, is making sure that your vocal technique is sustainable, so that whatever it is you're doing, you're not accidentally hurting yourself and running into vocal issues in a month from now, in a year from now, in 10 years from now, right? Like, we want to make sure it's sustainable, because once you release all this tension, singing feels good, everything changes in your tone. Like, your tone opens up, you will be able to increase your range, you'll be able to play around with different tones and different embellishments. That's when it becomes like really fun. So we got to make sure that the technique underneath everything you're doing is solid. And then obviously the whole, like, all right, now that we've got that covered, let's make sure we're not losing the character. Let's make sure we're bringing that back in, or we make more of it, right? So that you become really recognizable. And the whole musicality aspect of it is huge for me, right? So again, like you said, in the pocket, like that whole groove work, all of that phrasing, playing around with that. Stevie Wonder, by the way, is a masterclass on phrasing. Oh my goodness. Genius. So yeah, like it's a combination of the vocal technique and the artistry and the musicality, I would say.
What do you do for somebody that wants to sing but feels self-conscious about doing it?
All the things that I just said, pretty much.
Okay.
Like a lot of singing is mental. I would say probably 80 to 90% of singing is mental. So we absolutely need to address the mental aspect of singing. And, you know, in a first lesson, I always have you sing something that you want to sing, right? Any song you want. I don't care what it is. If it's Happy Birthday, great. Let's do it. If it's like some sort of rock song, great. Like whatever you enjoy listening to, whatever you enjoy singing, that already helps people feel a little bit more at ease, instead of me just being like, I want you to prepare X, Y, and Z, right? Then it's already like, now we're going by my book. Like, no, again, I want this to be a collaboration. And, you know, just showing them by when they do X, Y, and Z, and just like applying these things, they see like how quickly they can make progress and how quickly it changes the outcome. That's usually when they're already like, oh, this is not so bad. I might actually be able to do this. And with some practice and with some time, the self-conscious part, like the not feeling confident, all of that starts to lessen. And what, honestly, the best thing about this is you see how this vocal training and this confidence training affects everything in your life, not just the way you sing or the way you perform, but the way you interact with people, the way you are perceived by other people, everything, like your whole confidence level just explodes, like in a good way. Like, you're not like cocky diva, or, you know, it's just like you present yourself differently. And we've had a lot of students who said, like, I am a different person now, in a good way.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
How about someone that wants to increase their range? Because a lot of singers are good at what they do, but they just don't have the range that they feel they should have.
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest thing to like increase the range, or what's holding people back from hitting higher notes or lower notes, is tension, right? So there's intrinsic muscles, which are the muscles within the vocal folds, and there's extrinsic muscles, muscles that are outside, like the neck, the jaw, the tongue. All of these muscles are engaging quite a lot of the times with singers in general. And so we need to work on releasing these muscles so that your voice can flow out rather than being pushed out, right? So it comes down to vocal technique, right? Like releasing tension, releasing these muscles, finding balance in the voice, working on chest voice and head voice, and finding the balance between your breath and your muscle so that you're really getting the most out of your instrument for the least amount of effort. Just a quick tip for everyone who's listening out there and you're like, my range is really small or I feel like I'm working really hard. Try less. Just try less. If you're reducing the volume by 50%, if you're reducing your effort by 50%, see what happens. You might already be able to reach higher notes or lower notes that way as well. Like again, in our brains, we're all very much like, okay, here comes the high note. I got to work hard for it, right? And then everything starts to get tight and everything engages and it's just a whole little spiral downwards from there. So just less effort.
You know, you just mentioned something that didn't occur to me, but until now, it seems to me that classical training is so much about projection, like you're saying, and mm-hmm. being able to sing louder. But that is not the case at all, or shouldn't be a major factor in singing more modernly because you have amplification at your fingertips. Yeah.
No, 100%. I actually completely removed the word projection or like, please project more in my lessons. I don't believe in it at all. Because if I tell you, hey, can you project more? Can you do this louder? Like, just give me more. What happens? You just tighten up, right? You start pushing more. And then what good does that do? It just makes you tired more quickly. It gives you almost like a filter on top of your voice because there's too much compression happening. You might be going flat on high notes because now you're pushing so hard, right? Like that just doesn't work at all. Instead of projecting more, we need to resonate better. And also like, it's really not about volume at all, right? Like, because we have a microphone every time we sing, whether you're in the studio or you're singing live, you're always singing with a microphone. I don't care about the volume. I care about the intensity, right? Like, are you singing this in a breathy voice? Are you singing this in like a belt? Or is it more mixy? Or is it a chest voice but soft, right? Like there's so many different tones that we can create. And that's what I'm interested in, not how loudly you can make those tones because you got the microphone. It doesn't matter.
Very cool. We can go on and on.
I'm happy to. I can talk about this stuff all day long.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
And there's a lot to talk about, but I'm not going to keep you too much longer. Last question then, Lara. What is the best piece of advice that maybe you learned along the way or somebody imparted to you?
For singing in general?
Could be anything.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, for singing, I would say it's pay attention to what it feels like. We're always worried about what singing sounds like and, you know, wanting to sound good and wanting everybody to admire what we can do with our voice or with our music, right? Like it sounds good. Pay attention to what it feels like, especially, you know, like in your throat. Is it feeling tight? Is it feeling painful? Is it feeling uncomfortable? Do you feel a tickle in your throat? Do you have to cough from singing? All of those things are not good symptoms of singing. Singing should feel effortless and easy and flowy and not tight and strained and heavy. So that's for singing. For life, piece of advice? I don't know, man. I'm still just trying to figure it all out myself. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I would say like when you're doing what you're supposed to do, everything becomes aligned and everything falls into place. Obviously, it still takes effort, right? It's not like God will take care of it for you or whatever. The universe will take care of it for you. Like, no, you still got to put in the effort. But when you're on the right path, you know.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Okay. How can people find you?
Absolutely. So follow us on like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube at Vox Tape Studios. Send me an email, Lara@voxtapestudios.com. It's just LARA. There's no U in there. Check out our website, voxtapestudios.com. I'd love to connect with you and help you with your voice any way I can.
Thanks for listening and being in my inner circle. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to questions@bobbyosinski.com. You can also learn all about the latest in music, audio, and production news when you sign up for my newsletter at bobbyosinski.com. There, you'll also find out about openings for my latest online classes and special events. That's bobbyosinski.com. To listen to other episodes of Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle, go to bobbyosinski.com and select the podcast tab, or go to bobbyoinnercircle.com, where you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Apple Music, Mixcloud, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, and Podbean. At bobbyosinski.com and bobbyoinnercircle.com, you'll also find a sign-up form for my newsletter and for alerts for new podcasts. This is Bobby Osinski. I will see you next time.